She watched him for a long moment. Fine. I'll talk to her, but this isn't going anywhere. A lot of what I do is in the gray, legally. I'm not exactly a model citizen. You never know. Actually, he did. Delphi knew all about Alex's background, and they wanted her anyway. They wanted her because of it. The sort of experts they needed for cybercrimes weren't sitting around writing software manuals. But Troy let it go. For a while, they drank and traded small talk. When Alex's second rum and coke was gone, she rested her chin on her fist and gazed down into the glass. Her mind was on Melanie again, he could tell. How's your case coming? The same. Her voice was glum. Hey, perk up. Maybe your detective will come up with something. He's not my detective. But the tone of her voice sent up a red flag. He was onto something. You seeing each other? He asked. No. Again too emphatic. Troy smiled. He never would have pictured Alex Lovell with a homicide cop, but there was something poetic about it. Not that it would ever work out. Cops were notoriously bad at relationships, plus they were cynical, and Alex was a closet idealist. She glanced up at him. So, are you coming with me? Where? Troy glanced over his shoulder at the bar entrance. The Delphi Center. A guy stood at the door staring at Alex. His gaze shifted to Troy. I could, but I don't need to, he said. You're on the list now. The list? The man was shorter than Troy, probably 5'10", but powerfully built under that cheap blazer. His gaze scanned the bar briefly, then homed in on Alex again. Yeah, you're all cleared. Troy took a last swig of beer. You don't need an escort anymore. Just call Mia. Alex looked surprised by this news. She looked even more surprised when the homicide detective appeared at her side. Hi. The man ignored Alex's gaping stare and extended a hand to Troy. Nathan Devereaux, he said coolly. They shook hands. Troy Stockton. What are you doing here? Alex asked him. I need to talk to you. The man's voice was flat, his eyes hard. His gaze veered to the Dos Equis bottle sitting at Troy's elbow. I thought we were meeting tomorrow, she said. Now's better. Alex looked pissed again, but this time it was directed at the plainclothes detective. Lucky bastard. Troy tugged his wallet from his pocket and tossed a couple 20s on the bar. Alex frowned. Where are you going? Home, Troy said. But he kissed her mouth to shut her up and to annoy the cop. Take care. He looked down into her startled eyes. I'll call you next time I'm in town. Alex watched, shocked, as Troy left the bar. You had something you wanted to tell me?
The Inverted Hot Fudge Sundae. Landing the hover sled and fighting off the butterflies circling in my stomach, I take a deep breath and look at my destination. All the countless dangers I've faced, and I'm scared at what I might find under this beat-up old grain silo. Get a grip, Stacy, I say, trying to will my nervousness away. If he's here, he's still alive. But what do I do then? It took all this time to finally remember everything about Cal and why I was so taken with him. If I'm being honest with myself, I stopped trying after his death in Los Angeles. But after the fiasco in San Francisco, I slowly reassembled my memories of this shithole. 2 days ago, I remembered everything. Climbing off the vehicle, I walk in the direction of a crumbling barn next to that silo, retracing the steps that I only now remember. I feel giddy like a schoolgirl and struggle against getting my hopes up. A hint of fear crosses my heart. What if he doesn't want me anymore? Without the memories of why I found him great, I wasn't very kind to him. For everything that's been said about him, he can hold a monstrous grudge.
Welcome to the heart of the South. That's what the billboard coming into Columbia, South Carolina says. But I'm Megan Reese, and I'm not one of those people who believe anything anyone throws at them. I'm 15 and an army brat, which means I've had a healthy share of reality shoved in my face, and I've been exposed to a lot of different people and situations. Army brats move a lot, all over the world, post to post with their military career parents. In my case, that's both my dad, the colonel who runs the post, and my mom, an army nurse. I've lived in California, Kentucky, and Louisiana, even in Germany and Japan. Believe me, I'm not bragging. I didn't sign up. I was born into it. I wear a button that reads, "Hello, goodbye." That's my life. So when I say I don't believe it about Columbia being the heart of the South, I say it based on my exposure to other places. But if somebody does prove it's true, then I'd have to say that the South is dead from the neck down. Me, I'd describe Columbia, at least the part of it where I'm living on the post at Fort Jackson, more like an armpit. Yeah, it's another boring summer day in the armpit. Hot. Sahara Desert hot. The air is so thick with humidity, it practically has to be chewed before you can breathe this stuff.